At Kroger Pharmacy, CARE is making it easy to get vaccinated. CARE is helping you stay protected from flu, COVID, and RSV. Seasonal vaccines are available 7 days a week with evening hours. CARE is giving you a shot at staying healthy this season. Walk in whenever is best and get multiple vaccines in one visit at your local Kroger Pharmacy. So come and get the protection you need while protecting those around you. Kroger Health, a world of care, is in store. Visit Kroger.com/vaccines for more. Restrictions and exclusions apply. See site for details.
You're listening to Talk of Champions, an Ole Miss Spirit podcast with Ben Garrett. It's up.
Now that was more like it. Wasn't pretty, wasn't clean, it wasn't everything we wanted it to be. But it was an Ole Miss bounce back win over South Carolina at South Carolina on Saturday. And welcome inside an all new edition of Talk of Champions, an Ole Miss Spirit podcast brought to you always, always by Riverland Roofing, the house up top. 662-644-4297. That's the number to call to reach our friends at Riverland Roofing for all of your roofing needs. That's Riverland Roofing, 662-644-4297. And visit them online at riverlandroofing.com. I'm Ben Garrett, at Spirit Ben on Twitter. Your Ole Miss Rebels win over South Carolina 27-3, moving to 5-1 on the year, 1-1 in the SEC, and an absolute have-to-have-it game. And we're going to cover it from all angles here on Talk of Champions. Before we do, I would be remiss if I didn't remind you, after this full and busy and great day, for you, for me, it's late. It's 9:30 as I record this on Saturday, October 5th, 2024, inside the Riverland Roofing Studios. And no, this is not an Ole Miss powder blue. This is the Lady Reds. It looks like Rebs, but Reds. I spent my entire day in Corinth, Mississippi, watching the Lady Reds 8-under softball team, travel softball team with my Riley Buggertons, win their fourth ring in 5 tournaments. This is just getting ridiculous. And my baby made some progress. She's been struggling a little bit at the dish, but she got in there. She battled. She got her some knocks, and they got another tournament win. So congrats to the Lady Reds, but I apologize in advance for my voice. It is shot. I yelled like crazy. I've actually been yelling since Wednesday. If you watched the last edition of Talk of Champions on Thursday, it was opening night on Thursday night for Seussical the Musical, Seussical Junior the Musical, at New Albany High School, of which my oldest, Gracie Faye Garrett, the most perfect Gracie Faye Garrett to ever exist, is a bird girl. And I was there for Wednesday. I was for dress rehearsal Wednesday. I was there for opening night Thursday. I was there Friday. And guys, I'm an energizer bunny. I try to be an encourager. I try to be a hype man for everybody. I just want you to know that you're loved and that, man, I'll root for you, right? We all trying to figure it out together. But what that tends to do is I go a little overboard, especially if people encourage me. At Seussical, I was doing like the Ric Flair, woo, in the back, really loud and getting people hyped up as these kids just incredible production, local theater production, and it's such a joy to watch these people that I love be so great and pursue passions. And then I turn around after 3 days of that and go out to Corinth, where the Lady Reds did their thing. They're an unstoppable freight train just barreling down the tracks, and Riley Buggerton's, man, she's figuring it out. I'm so proud of her, but I spent all day yelling at that too. During that time, as they're winning again, went undefeated, a great matchup or a great finale, a great championship game that they had to come from behind to win 14-13. I'm telling you, barn burning stuff paled in comparison to what all we were looking for today. You, me, what we're here today on Talk of Champions to talk about. Ole Miss bouncing back against South Carolina. And they did. For the most part, they did. It was more like we expected to see. Again, it wasn't clean. There were still things that we would certainly like to see more of. Again, a lot of hinting and trolling from maybe players and coaches in regards to the status of Ulysses Bentley. You had his uncle getting into the comment section of one of my last shows in regards to Ulysses Bentley saying, hey man, he's healthy. And all I've heard is it's kind of a personal thing. It feels that way, but it doesn't matter because the team comes first as long as you're winning. Offensively, the running game was still pretty much what it's been, but I'm looking at the stats and you've got 81 yards, 44. You went 41 for 140 for 3.4 yards per carry. Yeah, that's not good enough. That's not good enough, but you came out with a win. Henry Parrish did look good in spurts, but we didn't see Ulysses Bentley. So, what's the deal? What's the deal? Because the running game, even in a win, wasn't what it needs to be, especially if they're going to be championship caliber. The only way we could talk about them in those terms anymore was to win today. But then you look around the national landscape at college football. This is awesome, okay? It is awesome. We live in a time in which Vanderbilt beats Alabama and we go, yeah, of course they do, because these days anything can happen. You can think that Ole Miss has built a juggernaut and that we can, or that all schools can build juggernauts just by going and paying for it, and then Ole Miss gets his ass kicked by Kentucky. Makes you doubt how things are done, and you looked at the score for South Carolina over Kentucky, 31-6, and you wondered, how? We just saw what happened. Now, we'd been talking about on this show how this was a championship caliber defense, and they played like that against South Carolina, 27-3, gave up 313 total yards. Again, no touchdowns. Lenore Sellers was bottled up. They had nothing down the field. He was 20 of 32, 162. He rushed for 55 yards as South Carolina's leading rusher on 15 attempts. Rocket Sanders, who everyone was worried about, only got 8 carries and only 3 in the first half, and he came out in the second half with like 2 or 3 in the first 4 plays, but he was questionable, so was Sellers, with injury concerns. And both of them played, albeit for Rocket, very little. And that offense was no threat at all for a defense that is, as we thought it was going in, championship caliber. But it was championship caliber against Kentucky. Anytime an opposing team only scores 20 points against an Ole Miss coach Lane Kiffin team, that should always be enough for a win. Tonight it was. I mean, 27 points still isn't what we expect, and some nits we're going to have to pick, especially with Jackson Dart and that deep ball effectiveness, accuracy, a lot of underthrows, still messiness across the board, not just offensively, the fumble through the end zone for Juice, man, that was almost an all-time moment for Juice Wells. Returning home, he finished as Ole Miss's leading receiver in yards, so he gets my first helmet sticker after Ole Miss beats South Carolina 27-3 to get back on track. Juice Wells in a return back. It's not a revenge game. It might have been that, or felt a little bit like that for South Carolina fans. You could tell. I'm sitting at the softball field in Corinth watching the game on TV as we're waiting for the next Lady Reds dominant performance to happen. And I'm watching every snap of this. And what I could see first and foremost is the hatred that South Carolina had for this man, because every time he touched the ball, boos were raining down on him. And that's still some fun, old-school, traditional college football stuff that we like. You know, I don't think it was necessarily personal. It felt more fun because this wasn't really a revenge game. For Ole Miss, it was purely business. They didn't think, let's win one for the Gipper for Juice Wells, but they did feature him in a way that they didn't feature him last week against Kentucky. But they didn't feature pretty much anybody last week outside of Trey Harris. Against Kentucky, they force fed him 15 balls in 50 snaps. Kentucky dictated pace. This was more even as it's going to be with how fast Ole Miss would typically like to go. There's a renewed commitment to trying to get the running game and add some balance. When they came out passing, passing, passing against Kentucky, here they came out really focused on running. You saw 41 attempts. That's good, but still, what are you getting out of these attempts? When Jackson Dart is your leading rusher in yards per carry average at 5.5, and he's still initiating contact when he doesn't need to, there's only 6 games in here. And then Matt Jones gets 10 carries and does 13 yards of scoreless work on them. Where is Ulysses Bentley? But at least Juice Wells got a little bit of a nice return, got to quiet some of those boos. But for Ole Miss, it wasn't anything personal. It was just nice to see that they remembered that they have him on the roster, that the middle of the field exists. And you saw Juice get involved. That's how they kind of got him involved with this 3 catches very early. He got 10 targets, and I mean, it was an efficient day for Juice. He dropped one play specifically when Jackson Dart attempted a free play in the end zone, which he absolutely should have caught that ball. Great pass. And if we're going to talk about all the underthrows for Jackson deep, we got to talk about the ones that wide receivers fail to catch or just pass catchers in general. And Juice dropped one. It was nice to see, however, because we remember Kentucky in that final drive when he had a free play to Jackson Dart, and instead of throwing it to the end zone when there are no repercussions, he tucked it and ran and fumbled. Here, he got multiple free plays, and every time he tried it down the field, that was an improvement. That's progress. That's good to see. But there is inefficiency in the deep game. It's an improvement offensively, but it is not an A. It's a passing grade, but it is not, oh, all things are well. It is encouraging because this defense is what we thought it was, a championship caliber defense still to this day. I mean, 313, 162 through the air, 152 on the ground. The penalties are a problem. They still hold too much, but there's so many encouraging signs. I love that this week, and to practice that holding for its defensive backs, for Ole Miss's defensive backs, has been a real problem. And to kind of correct that, or at least work on it during the practice week, Pete Golding had all of his defensive backs, really his corners, tape their hands with tennis balls so they couldn't grab. They could hand fight, but no grabbing. And there was some improvement there, but they got called for some stuff early. The penalty, 8 for 65, better for Ole Miss. Not good, but better. And especially when you compare it to South Carolina, who had 8 for 80, and how Ole Miss has been. I think they were pushing 40 in their last two games combined for penalties. So 8 for 65, and you saw less holding, less penalties on the defensive secondary, and some interesting personnel moves as well. My second helmet sticker after Juice Wells goes to one Yan Banks. He's a guy we've been talking about on Talk of Champions for quite some time. Yam didn't do a ton as far as stats. He was middle of the road, 3 total tackles, 2 solos. He broke up a pass. But when Yam got here in the offseason from South Alabama, he was starting at safety in the spring, every single practice that we got those opportunities to see, which isn't a lot, but enough to go, all right, who are the starters? And one of those three starters at safety, because almost starts 3 safeties, was Yan Banks, and he was playing really well. And then early on in fall camp, same thing. He was back out there, but then he started to lose some ground. He started to cede time to other guys who maybe were having a better preseason camp, and it hurt his snap share or took away from his snap share in those first 5 games. You didn't see a lot of Yan Banks, but he started in this game. And he started not just because Ole Miss is trying new things, but also they want to try different personnel groupings. Jane Kennedy, who had been starting at safety but has versatility as a cornerback, transfer from Tulane. He started out at safety, but then when they were having some issues at Ware, what we've been talking about for days, if not weeks, field corner, Jaden Kennedy moved over there. Talk about a guy who's ascending and making plays. Yan Banks and Jaden Kennedy, I'm kind of giving them this helmet sticker together, but it's more about the work that the defensive secondary for a championship caliber defense that doesn't have a lot of nits to pick. That is one. Field corner, holding, defensive holding calls in the secondary, and there was improvement there. They had issues with that because they couldn't be aggressive. They were getting punished for their aggression against Kentucky. That physicality burned them on that deep play for Barry and Brown. There was none of that this time. Early on there was, but Ole Miss got better. And Ole Miss offensively made adjustments too. But before we go any further, as I gave a joint combined helmet sticker to Yan Banks and also Jaden Kennedy. Because Yan Banks, it's good to see him incorporated and holding up and being steady. And if he can be that third safety and Kennedy can hold up that field corner, we're talking about answered questions, solving issues. Issues that we've seen and we want to see them take steps towards as they try to now, as they're back in the playoff discussion firmly. We wanted to see them put it into action. You know, you really fix the field corner issue, but how are you going to do it? Well, a personnel group in Yan Banks at safety. Can he hold up on the back end? And is Jaden Kennedy a seamless cornerback? It sure looks like it to me. They've tried Lewis Moore. They've tried, not Lewis Moore, excuse me. They've tried Isaiah Hamilton, the transfer corner from Houston. They've tried the transfer corner from Tennessee, Alabama. Brandon Turner is the local kid returned home from Lafayette. But tonight, it actually looked like it was supposed to. So I think that's something we need to keep an eye on moving forward. That personnel grouping in the defensive secondary, because tonight it did look better. But back-to-back double-digit tacklers led Ole Miss, leading the way T.J. Dottery, who early on, if you watched, had a bad start. bad start. Out of position so often, especially in coverage. Some run fits that he just blew, but man, did he bounce back. So good for him. A helmet sticker. It's so much better to give out helmet stickers after a win. I gave out one last week. One. I've already given out now, well, actually four or five, it seems like. TJ Dotter, you get one, because what a bounce back effort, man. 13 total tackles, 11 solos, one sack, two tackles for loss, one pass breakup. When the first half, they were coming at you because they could tell you were swimming a little bit. And you settled in. But here's the one guy that I've been waiting to talk about for 2 years. You know where I'm going. My man, Sonny P. Suntarian Perkins finished with 12 total tackles, 6 solos, 1 sack, 2 tackles for loss. It's important for so many reasons. He's a former 5-star plus prospect. The number one prospect in Mississippi. There are some legitimate gripes about Lane Kiffin's ability to develop high school talent. Aiden Williams comes to mind immediately. Suntarian was having some similar questions. He was a tweener. Where can he play? Tonight, they had to have him. Or this afternoon. It's tonight for me. Go Lady Reds. But today, Ole Miss had to have Suntarian Perkins. Princely Umanmielen was a late scratch, out with an ankle injury. Princely Umanmielen was a late scratch, out with an ankle injury. He was probable, or maybe questionable, on the injury report. He got banged up against Kentucky. I don't think anybody really thought it was going to be an issue. Unfortunately, he got scratched. And Suntarian had his breakout game. Wow, was he impressive. I'd give him 2 helmet stickers. Maybe I can, because it's my show. I'll give it to him, sure. Anyway, if anybody deserves a helmet sticker tonight in Ole Miss's 27-3 win over South Carolina, which improves Ole Miss to 5-1 overall, 1-1 in the SEC. Oh, sounds so much better than last week, doesn't it? Feels like a weight's been removed from your shoulders. They have Suntarian Perkins, not most of all, but certainly among the most of all to thank. He was great today. He's the one that stepped in for Princely Umanmielen and made a statement about who's the future of this program and or the future of this defense, and the future is now. What an encouraging, incredible sign for Ole Miss, not just in the short term, but the long term, that when a kid who needed to step in, you didn't really have the freshman year they wanted you to have. Yeah, you were a freshman All-American, but you didn't have the impact that you were wanting or Ole Miss was wanting you to necessarily have. They have made you into a pure edge. You're not a linebacker. They're not going to do to you what LSU did to Harold Perkins. You're a rush in, but man, and yeah, you're going to be undersized because you're too skinny. Keep eating as much as you can, gaining some weight best you can. Because that's how you're going to have to hold up with those big hog mollies. But buddy, you held up against South Carolina.
Protecting homes and businesses from the whims of nature, you need more than just quality materials. You require Riverland Roofing. Licensed, insured, and certified, Riverland Roofing offers not only the assurance of excellence, but a tailored approach to your unique structural needs and budget. To learn more about what Riverland Roofing can do for you and the community, call them at 662-644-4297 or visit riverlandroofing.com.
Yeah, about Walter, 2 sacks. What does it do
with
the DTs?
Yeah, I thought Walter was really good today. I mean, they hold him a lot every week, and they were holding him today. And, you know, we got our holdings fixed on defense, and I keep telling the refs, okay, well, we're fixing ours, but then they keep holding our D linemen, especially Walter. But just was proud of him because, you know, talked to him a lot about, like, it's going to be a long game. It's a hot game. You're going to play a lot, you know, and just – you know, like a fighter, just go out there. Don't waste a lot of energy between rounds. And I thought he did a really good job. You know, you can see these massive celebrations and all that. And just I told the guys, let's expect to make plays. You know, kind of last week, every time we made a play, we had to have, you know, like celebration of the year. So just expect to make plays. Like, watch our offense. We don't celebrate first downs. You can celebrate a touchdown, but that's it. So I was proud of the way Walter played.
Specifically early, it was really loud, and this was – one of the first games where in-helmet communication could have been a big deal on the road. How was it today, and what did you feel? Was it a pro or a con, or what were your thoughts?
Well, I thought we kind of took them out with the game going our direction. And obviously, with halftime, number of people left, so that really wasn't an issue ever in the second half. So I thought our guys did it. And I think when we make first downs, it's kind of hard for the crowd noise to be a major impact against this system. You know, Tennessee's the same way. Like, when you go on the road, if you can make some first downs, you play so fast that I say the crowd doesn't kind of know when to cheer. It's not the traditional, like, okay, well, they walk to the line and then they snap the ball. So now if you don't make first downs, it becomes a problem. But I thought that our guys did a good job with it today.
You guys are pretty beat up. You got one more game before open day. It's obviously a huge game at LSU. Just kind of, how would you assess just sort of the health of your team right now?
How many timeouts does Alabama have? One left.
They had all three a few minutes ago.
They have one left, 118. All right. Sorry, I didn't. I mean, this is like a once in a lifetime thing going on. Better watch. You're not going to see it probably ever again. What was the question?
Just about the overall health of your team halfway through a season, big game at LSU.
Yeah. Yeah, another team we're going to get off of a bye. So we are, you know, left tackle didn't play today. Princely didn't play the right end, you know, so that's. Good job of guys stepping up and good job of developing depth. But we're going to get another team coming off of a bye, so, which I think, I know people make a big deal, but I think it's overrated. Kind of analytics show that your win percentage after byes is not, you can't really prove much to it. So, you know, it is what it is.
Ole Miss fans, your only choice for daily fantasy sports is Prize Picks. America's number one daily fantasy sports app, PrizePicks, has over 5 million active members. And it's fun and it's simple. Pick two or more players from any sport, and whether they'll go for more or less of their projected stats, choose flex or power play, and watch the winnings roll in. Flex means you still win even if one of your picks misses. Power plays are higher payouts, but you got to get all of your picks right. Bottom line, you have options that fit your daily fantasy playing style, but only with our friends at PrizePicks. And they've already made me a winner. CeeDee Lamb, an easy pick for more than 96 receiving yards. The only weapon for Dak Prescott in his more or less of 263 passing yards. Even better, you can now get up to 100 times your money on PrizePicks with as little as 4 correct picks. And winning withdrawals with PrizePicks are fast, safe, and secure. When those picks hit, you can get your money in as quick as 15 minutes. So download the PrizePicks app today and use code TALKOFCHAMPIONS. That's code TALKOFCHAMPIONS to get $50 instantly when you play $5. Code TALKOFCHAMPIONS on PrizePicks to get $50 instantly when you play $5. You don't even need to win to receive this $50 bonus. It's guaranteed with PrizePicks. Run your game. You know when you discover a new binge-worthy show or that song you can't help but leave on repeat? You just have to share it with your friends, right? Because who doesn't want to spread awesomeness? Now you know how I feel telling you now about Mint Mobile. Mint Mobile offers premium wireless for $15 a month when you purchase a 3-month plan today. It's such a good deal, I couldn't keep it to myself. My past plans have gone as high as $100. Friends don't let friends overpay for wireless. Time to say so long to those overpriced wireless plans and switch to Mint Mobile. All plans come with high-speed data and unlimited talk and text delivered on the nation's largest 5G network. And don't worry, Mint Mobile will get all your old stuff off your old phone, including those existing contacts. So don't wait another second. Get your new 3-month premium wireless plan for just $15 a month at mintmobile.com/TOC. That's mintmobile.com/TOC. $45 upfront payment required. New customers on first 3-month plan only. Speeds slower above 40 gigabytes on unlimited plan. Additional taxes, fees, and restrictions apply. See Mint Mobile for details.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger for thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
But so many guys could get a ton of credit. Trey Amos has been a godsend on the boundary. He's just been so good for Ole Miss at corner. Chris Poupon led Ole Miss in tackling in 3 out of 4 games. He had a down night, but you know it's a good defense, championship caliber defense. When a TJ Dottery starting slow, he then bounces back, picks up his teammate with such an incredible individual effort. Princely Umon Mielin goes out. Son Taryn Perkins, my man Sonny P, steps in, and man, that was fun to see. Finally, a number four jersey Ole Miss fans can root for. But just a great collective game for the defense. They get so much credit. And then offensively, what do we think? We know it was an improvement. We do know that. But still, there are a lot of things left to be desired. But I'm not going to focus on that so much as the one thing that I was so thrilled to see. Jackson Dart going through his progressions, man, reading defenses, not getting locked on a tray or heaving it up there because he's worried about his protection. The protection wasn't great. We'll get into the grading from Pro Football Focus and all the stuff we look at on Tuesday's show or the show to start next week. But for now, let's just focus on what our eyes saw. You know, the human element. What did you see today? Last week, Ole Miss got physically dominated by a good Kentucky defense that has NFL players on it. But when they got hit in the mouth, it's not like they made adjustments. Again, forgive my voice if it's radio raspy and stuff. Yelling for those Lady Reds and for Susical Jr. I'm a hype man. And I saw somebody, man, I've already forgotten your name, sir, and I'm so sorry, but I'm driving home from Corinth. Had to stop and get gas. I'm fried today, tonight. So I'm going to be bouncing all over the place. Forgive me. The fact that y'all even want to listen to me after this day is awesome. Congratulations that the Rebels won. And the way they played, and we're going to get into the offensive stuff in a minute, but I was stopping as I'm driving back from the tournament at a gas station just to get some gas. I run in there to grab something to drink. And as I'm walking out, man, an older gentleman looks at me. I think he said he was 70 or so. And he's looking at me like he'd seen a ghost. And he goes, man, I watch you all the time. And I went, really? And yeah, we talked about all kinds of things. He'd been a football coach for 35 years. He actually knew a former coach that I loved in New Albany named Hall Wilbanks. God rest his soul. He was so relieved that the Rebels had bounced back. And also a couple Rebel fans out there in the Corinth softball fields. One is wearing a sip hat. You know who I'm talking about if you're watching. Man, he was fired up too just because it doesn't make sense after this game. How did they lose to Kentucky? Oh. It was all at the feet of Lane Kiffin and the offensive staff. The lack of creativity. Force-feeding 15 balls to Trey Harris in 50 snaps because you were physically dominated by a Kentucky team that could finally hit back. This South Carolina defense was not as good as Kentucky maybe, but certainly had good, if not NFL talent up front, elite-level talent up front, a legitimate SEC talent front seven, I should say. And I'm mostly talking about Kyle Kennard, who is the SEC, or came in as the SEC leader in tackles for loss and sacks. And Ole Miss completely neutralized him. Completely neutralized him. So a ton of credit to a banged up offensive line. Diego Pounds and Micah Pettis, it was still up and down. But run graders they are. Run behind them. The interior, there's still struggles there. I can tell you why 3.9 happened. You kept trying to run behind a six-year backup who has really played well, get credit to him, Reese McIntyre. It was interesting to me. Caleb Warren, Reese got banged up. Caleb Warren, who's been banged up, finally showed up and played. He's healthy enough to play. He's just not playing. So Reese, they think, is better. I mean, I understand Nate Kalepa, the Washington transfer. He started every game for a playoff contender playoff team last year. Julius Boilo, yeah, okay. Caleb was going to be your starting right guard, and now he's the backup to Reese McIntyre, who was once his backup to the backup. It's an interesting outlook. If you really dive into some personnel decisions, Ulysses Bentley, Caleb Warren, it's not injury. If it's just performance, that's fine. Thankfully, it's coming off of a win, so we can talk about it in these terms rather than, well, you've ran for 3.9 yards per carry again and not a single one for Ulysses Bentley, the highest graded returning running back in the SEC. You say he's not hurt. You say it's just performance-based. Well, the performance doesn't sync up. It's not making sense. The math is not mathing here. He was the highest graded returning running back in the SEC. He averaged nearly 6 yards a carry. I'm talking about Ulysses Bentley. Yes, it's a win, and man, did y'all play better, and it was such a good thing to see. rediscovering the middle of the field, that Juice Wills exists, that Jordan Watkins exists. They are capable next-level wide receivers. A commitment to the running game and forcing your offensive line to be patient and to be physical. It was great. So many great things to see. But the performance is, it's just the math isn't mathing. It's still a bad running performance. And you're a run-heavy variation of a spread you always have been. You've always been, it's always been a testament to you, Lane, and your offensive staff that you've been among the nation's leaders when you're at your best in rushing yards per game. You're among the nation's best rushing teams. They think pass, 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 and we all know that have watched you for 5 years. That is not who you are. So, we know that this isn't going to work. This isn't going to be enough. For LSU next week? Yeah, you don't play Alabama this year, but also Alabama lost to Vanderbilt. What an incredible world we live in. Nothing makes sense. We got the expanded college football playoff and not a single good football team in college football this year. You know, a dominant, badass team. Maybe Texas. Quinn Ewers is impressive. But I'll just wait and see. I want to see Texas play an Alabama. Because, yeah, Alabama lost to Vanderbilt today. Clark Lay is a tremendous head coach, program builder. He's going to be James Franklin. I'm not, it's an easy, lazy comparison because James is a former Vanderbilt coach too. But you're talking about a guy that's going to go somewhere like a Penn State, be there for 10 years, maybe never win a title, but man, he'll always win 10 games. He's a grinder, an old school football coach. And because everything's been evened out and guys want to play and they can get paid at Vanderbilt or even just get a good degree, they can beat, yeah, they can beat Tennessee. Or excuse me, sorry, Tennessee. They can beat Alabama. And Jalen Milroe, who waxed Georgia, well, didn't wax him, but was so impressive. And Jalen Milroe is now number one, was all this week in the Heisman odds while Jackson Dart falls to plus 2,000. And with this performance tonight, I mean, he didn't do anything to go, well, he's back on track. But the team, offensively, they look like more what it's supposed to look like. I think they're going to be really humming in a couple weeks. I think LSU is going to be a dogfight, but after that bye, because of this performance and the creativity in which Ole Miss worked with, you're talking about 5 receivers, it says here. Yeah, because Daquan Wright didn't record a catch, but you saw Daquan Wright on the field again. So many things you can point to, but this isn't the offense performance that's going to win Ole Miss any awards, or especially a playoff game, if not a championship. But it's encouraging that they could beat this team that we thought, well, maybe South Carolina is the contender and Ole Miss is the pretender. And no, Ole Miss had a bad offensive game last week, and there are no good teams in college football. Alabama's not the best team. They're not the dominant team. There is no dominant team, is what I'm saying. There is no dominant team. Jalen Milroe is no more a Heisman front runner than Jackson Dart was before Jackson Dart had ever played anybody. And he got a little bit exposed, and he was better this week, but still, he could have been better. And he's got to slide. Man, you've got to slide, Jackson. Seriously. But if you're not going to slide, at least just rear back and heave it as far as you can, because those underthrows are hampering an offense that is really, it just looks to me, pretty darn dependent on big bust plays. And if you don't get them, everything looks hard. Nothing easy. Tonight looked a little bit easier, certainly easier than Kentucky. And it may, if this is the floor, this is more the floor than, yeah, this is 9 wins. This is a 9-win team. But 9 wins for this team was never going to be enough. This offense has to be better. We all said it. We all agree, even if you're the biggest homer. OMSpirit.com, affiliate of Vol 3, Ole Miss Spirit, the Ole Miss Spirit, OMSpirit.com. Subscribe today. Homerism, Kool-Aid, serve daily. Who cares? I'm just trying to be honest here. 9-3 is a great season, historically, contextually, for Ole Miss. This team, it wouldn't be enough. We've all said it, even if you're the biggest homer or optimist. Anything short of the playoff, making the playoff, was a failure for this team. The most talented team in the modern era. And there's a lot of fatalism from all of us this week. My guy Jake Adams wrote a guest column he does every week at the Ole Miss Spirit, omspirit.com, affiliate of On3. And he said, I don't see it, guys. That just did me in. Kentucky felt like Jacksonville State to him. I get it. It was a painful feeling last week. And then Vanderbilt beats Alabama. Ole Miss whips South Carolina. I mean, South Carolina had nothing to offer. Nothing to push Ole Miss with. Lenore Sellers is going to be good in time, I think. There are no good teams, so Ole Miss is right back in the thick of it. We as college football fans have gotten what we want. True parity. Everybody's got a shot. Ashton Jeanty is the Heisman frontrunner. And Boise State, they could beat anybody. They could beat Ole Miss, sure. We've all wanted it to be an even playing field. Well, we've got what we wanted. Has the quality suffered? Maybe. But I think it's great and more fun than it's ever been in that way, competitively on the field. That, why wouldn't Vanderbilt in this culture go and upset Alabama? It doesn't feel so seismic. It's not like Woody Woodenhofer went and beat the Bear. You know what I mean? Clark Lay's a good coach. And Vanderbilt can build a team that can, you know, on the right day with the right breaks. They went and took the number two wide receiver. Just making this up. Number two wide receiver from USC and then a quarterback back up from Georgia. And they built a fun little team that had a good day and they beat Alabama. Parity reigns supreme now in college football. And that is a great, great thing for Ole Miss. Because Kentucky, we thought, was it. It was the, you know, dagger to the neck. If that's even a thing. Is that an expression? We know dagger to the back. You stabbed me in the back. Whatever. To the jugular. We thought it was fatal. It was over. No, not at all. 27-3. They're right back in it. Number 12. Alabama's going to have a fall, but they'll probably only fall to like 7. Georgia's so much better than them. Texas is the team we're all looking to. But now we're like, well, LSU could... No, Ole Miss has got to go beat LSU and go into that bye. And that LSU game is going to be tough. And that team maybe could get in this conversation of a collection of fun, not very goods. But this right here shows us the way we used to think about things, how you as an Ole Miss fan used to react to things. It's all over. They did it to me again. We are Ole Miss. Man, college football is just a different world. We've never seen anything like it, and we'll never see anything like it ever again in this sport. Because however long this goes, Ole Miss is every bit the contender as Alabama, Georgia. Kentucky should have beaten Georgia. Well, you never say that, but like they had them on the ropes. They had them right there. One of those one-play bounce things, just like it was against Ole Miss for Kentucky. Pick your one-play bounce. Berry and Brown. Trey Washington punches out that ball as Kentucky's going in for the go-ahead touchdown, and instead of Ole Miss getting a game-sealing and game-turning and just season-saving, we would have said fumble recovery, it bounces into the breadbasket of the tight end for Kentucky, and they scored the touchdown anyway. And we thought, man, that's like that goes up there. That kind of play is 4th-and-25 all over again. Like Jake wrote, and I sympathized with him. I felt that way a lot too. I fully admit I was probably overly negative this week on all these podcasts guys wanted me to do. I think I went on SEC. Yeah, I know I did. I went on SEC Unfiltered. You can find it on YouTube. And man, I saw a YouTube comment say, man, Ben didn't say one good thing about Ole Miss. And I watched it and said, man, he's absolutely right. I didn't. There were good things that I've said on Talk of Champions, but I need to be more cognizant of saying about Kentucky. But it was just, we thought it was all over because we're used to it being over in that way. 4th-and-25, God, there it goes. Almost his chance to make the playoff. Hugh Freeze, cursed, blah, 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 blah. Laquan play, devastating play, both personally and for everyone when it happened, what it meant for the team, for him, everybody. That play, we thought Kentucky was like that. We would have been talking about the breadbasket fumble punch out like that, but we're not. Because Ole Miss bounced back, yes, but also because college football is a nut house now. We're talking about Arkham Asylum in here. Ole Miss might be the Riddler because we can't figure these cats out, but I mean, what is Alabama? Clayface? I mean, what is going on? Down is up. Cats and dogs, you know, living with each other. This is a different time. And thank goodness, if you're Ole Miss, that it is, because the old rules do not apply. And a 27-3 win over South Carolina takes you to 5-1 and 1-1 and number 12 with an upset loss for Alabama against Vanderbilt takes you, Ole Miss, back into the top 10. Well, only 12 make the playoff, yes, but even with that loss to Kentucky, my man J.D. Pickle, On3 national college football analyst, had you right there with that terrible loss that everyone thought was it. It was done. It is terrible. Man, if they lose to South Carolina, will they all opt out? I know I was thinking it. I know you were too. Man, the disaster that it would be. And you were right. But also, nobody's good. There's a lot of pretty good. And there's a lot of, oh, they could be championship caliber because Ole Miss has that defensively. But it's not just the defense that can do it for you. It did it today. It wasn't against Kentucky. Offense, you got to pull your weight. And you pulled it more against South Carolina. But man alive, what a crazy world we're living in college football. And Ole Miss is breathing again. So, what does it all mean now? Well, next week is LSU. We got to give our final helmet sticker. I wanted to give one to Jordan Watkins. It wasn't a huge effort. 5 for 72. No touchdown or scoring or anything. But Jordan has been battling it, man, and he deserves to get the ball more. 3 for 81 for Trey Harris. Of course, he did the thing. He was banged up a little bit. Walter Nolan went off and on with his injury stuff. That was all real. The fake injury stuff, though, don't make me talk about this Ole Miss, but it's so bad and lame and terrible and no one likes it. But helmet sticker, Walter Nolan dealt with the injury stuff, 5 total tackles, 4 solos, 2 sacks, 3 TFLs. Dominant. This is probably his only year, his first and probably his only year at Ole Miss after transferring in from Texas A&M. That man came into the week and was talking about how, yeah, we needed that. And that's kind of how I felt about Ole Miss after Kentucky. Not, oh, y'all shit the bed, poop the bed. No, it was, man alive. With that offensive performance, you got bullied, hit in the mouth. The team could finally hit back, and they did. You got what you deserved. And he owned it like that. In a transfer culture, we wonder who's really committed. Walter Nolan has been committed. Olive Branch kid, yeah, he went to Texas A&M and transferred in. He'll only be here for a year. He's going to be a first round in the NFL draft. Man's playing like it, but he's leading like it too. And he deserves a lot of credit after this win, this season stabilizing win, 27-3 for Ole Miss over South Carolina with LSU next. He deserves not only a helmet sticker, but plaudits for taking accountability on Monday, saying, yeah, we're pissed off. We need to take it out on them. It's on us. We got what we deserved is essentially, in so many words, what he said. I'm glad it happened. You thought we were entitled to something? They weren't. Defensively, they've been earning it, but offensively pulled its weight more. Still some things to work on. But you can feel good and you can go to sleep tonight, knowing that they're right back in the playoff discussion. 27-3, they're right back in it. Considering all the other results, yes, it's fun to talk about Alabama Vandy because good grief, but they're right back in it. Right back in. They beat LSU. Oh, now they're really in the thick of it. They're tracking again for Georgia in November. Their one consequential game to be, again, the consequential game. Winner that one is probably one of the few SEC representatives potentially in the college football playoff. What an incredible stage that would be. We thought it was going to be nothing more than a final sad footnote in a disappointing team that lost everybody because, you know, the last dance was all a bunch of Gen Z nonsense. You know, a lot of frou-frou without having done really anything yet. And I'm guilty of that more than anyone. So I say that in an endearing way, Jackson, whoever I'm talking about in that way. I love you, all right? But don't take it personal. I'm just picking. But you hadn't done anything. You hadn't beaten anyone. No one can say that now. You beat South Carolina. They weren't a juggernaut. They weren't even good. They were a team that was lesser than, but so was Kentucky. So thank you for beating the team you were supposed to, like you always had done under Lane Kiffin before Kentucky. You are back on track. You still have got a very narrow road. Small the gate, narrow the road. Only one finds it in college football, as it says in Matthew. But I'm telling you here and now, Ole Miss, you still got a path. You still got a road. All because 27-3, you went and got it done. And it wasn't pretty. I'm not bursting at the seams thinking, oh yeah, man, it's all back. The vibes are all immaculate again. That's not what's happening here. But it's a very positive step. It's a detox, you know. Everybody can breathe. And me, it allows me to go to sleep in about, hopefully, 10, 15 minutes. I don't know how long this is going to take to export. But I got a Lady Reds fourth win, fourth ring in five tournaments. My beautiful daughter Gracie had her third showing of Seussical. I'm sure she crushed it. Cannot wait to see her tomorrow afternoon at New Albany High School. She's going to do it all over again. For the last time, 2 p.m., come and see it. Hopefully some folks from Riverland Roofing, riverlandroofing.com, sponsors Talk of Champions. You're in or watching me in the Riverland Roofing Studios, the house up top. 662-644-4297. Call them for all your roofing needs. Riverlandroofing.com. I hear some Riverland folks might be coming. And if they are, man, come on and we're going to have some fun up there. Come and visit me too, like the cat I talked to at the gas station. Come talk to me. Come hang with me in New Albany High School. That is where I will be. All I ask is that you also hang with me sometime at the Ole Miss Spirit. OMSpirit.com and affiliate of On 3. That's omspirit.com, affiliate of On 3. I've been there for almost 20 years now, and I ain't going nowhere, God willing. So come hang with us. Let's talk about this win. Ole Miss beat South Carolina. Let's give out. I want to hear your helmet stickers. Give me some helmet stickers on the message board, omspirit.com. I know Son Taren gave – I'm giving him all kind of helmet stickers. I've been waiting to give him as many as my guy wants. He's that dude. And he had a dude night, but so many good things. And I want you to talk about them with me at the Ole Miss Spirit, omspirit.com, affiliate of On 3. Thank you so much. I'll see you on Tuesday. Zach should have a recruiting podcast on Monday, but I don't want to talk for him. Be good to each other. Take care of each other. Ole Miss back on track. Whew. Take care.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger for thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply. At Kroger Pharmacy, CARE is making it easy to get vaccinated. CARE is helping you stay protected from flu, COVID, and RSV. Seasonal vaccines are available 7 days a week with evening hours. CARE is giving you a shot at staying healthy this season. Walk in whenever is best and get multiple vaccines in one visit at your local Kroger Pharmacy. So come and get the protection you need while protecting those around you. Kroger Health, a world of care, is in store. Visit Kroger.com/vaccines for more. Restrictions and exclusions apply. See site for details.